we can perhaps get that guy hooked up there, that'd be great. How's your summer going, guys? Thumbs up? Really? What's it? Turn to that person beside you and tell them the best thing that's happened to you for the month of July. Go ahead. You got married. Someone got married? Wow. Congratulations. Welcome to the club. Wow. Somebody got married. Wow. Anybody else get married? You guys are young. You know what? Awesome. You know, it was funny. We were playing volleyball last Tuesday night, and a dad wanted her daughter to get married. And so I got a bunch of friends, really athletic friends across the border. So does Dave. And they're all young guys, and I always accuse them. I'm sure you've heard me talk about this before, but they come up, and they steal our women, and they marry them at like 18, 19. So if you ever want to get married, you just jump across the border. Just, you know, say, are you one of Alistair's friends? Yes, but be very careful. So there was a big tournament there yesterday. This is the driest I've been. Like, did it rain as hard here yesterday? It was like the wrath of God came over in a cloud five times and then just dunked on us. Just, so we're playing volleyball in this stuff. Yeah, oh, it was unreal. Do you want your July to be, sorry, August to be better than your July? Oh, yeah. It takes a little bit of thought, right? I just got back from Anvil Island Bible Camp, where a few of us in this room have served, and it was awesome. A lot of prayer went in. It was like on Tuesday night, it was almost like God came and just sat down in chapel, just because kids are getting saved, just boom. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. I couldn't believe it. And then Wednesday again, Thursday. It's amazing when you open up the Word of God multiple times in one day, what can happen, right? So in my cabin is a guy who's too old to be a camper. I just want you to picture him. He's too old to be a camper, definitely not counselor material. But he can, we can't put him in the dish pit because you got to be careful. But he just drinks in camp. You know, I want you to picture, I don't know, what do we picture? Picture Shrek and Elf. Remember Elf from the Christmas movie? In one person, not green. This is an actual human being who I shared a cabin with. So it's like 1:45 in the morning. And he's dead serious. He's not trying to be funny. He goes, Alistair, yeah. Dude, do you want to just bring your voice down? Because it's more like, Alistair. I'm just like, dude, everyone's sleeping. And he's like, I wonder what's for breakfast tomorrow. And I'm like, Donald, dude, keep your mouth shut. People are sleeping. He's like, I hope there's bacon. And I hope there's pancakes. And I hope there's orange juice. Oh, wouldn't that be great, Alistair? Meanwhile, the whole cabin is now awake. Guy's about 17, 16. But I thought, wow, just the raw joy of enjoying life. Just talking about bacon at like just about 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's my little brother doing these little sound effects, you know. I am your father. You know, he's like, ha, 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 ha. I'm just like, he's just drinking in the whole thing. And at the end, my buddy Cam Wilson stands up in front of everyone. He goes, everyone, let's just give Donald a clap for reminding us all how to drink in life. And Donald runs up on stage, takes off his shirt, I don't know why, and just starts throwing it around. And he's not doing it to be funny. I'm looking at him going, he's actually enjoying this moment. Wow, talk about present. And I guess if there's anything I could just learn from a guy who I make fun of. And I look at him and I go, and at the end of the week, he's like, Alistair, thanks for including me. I know I'm a little odd. I'm like, Donald, be quiet. You know what you taught me this week? To be present. Enjoy every moment of camp. You know all these little precious moments slip by? Oh, it was great. So perhaps your July has been fun. Perhaps you've lost somebody. Perhaps you've gone somewhere. Perhaps you got married. By the way, it gets better when we get better, right? Some guys can slack off a little bit, stop dating the girl, right? I mean, you shouldn't be dating anyone once you're married. But I'm talking about dating your girl. And once you maneuver through there, guys can take their foot off the pedal, right? We're sorry, girls. We're sorry. Just being honest, right? But then, guys, if I was to say to you, keep your girl number one. Who's going to kiss her? You are. Who's going to love her? You are. You are the one on planet Earth. It's a different hug from her dad, right? Or maybe she didn't get that growing up. So you are the sole person on planet Earth to make her life great, all right? Now, if she's a Christian, that's awesome. So that's number one, right? Is she a Christian? And you know what's way up there? I've told you before. Does she have a sense of humor? Because my wife and I laugh a lot. I think it's a huge asset. But let's dive into here. This morning when I was thinking about you guys from my garage. Does anybody know what this piece, this contraption is? Boombox. A boombox? Yeah, otherwise known as a ghetto blaster. If you can believe it, in 82, we were walking around with these things. We were, wow, life changes. We walked around with this. That's like, that handle is that long. Right, Dave? Oh, he's not there. It was unbelievable. And we thought we were cool. And we would crank our tunes. And everyone would be competing with cranking the tunes. I would go to school and then you'd have to turn in your ghetto blaster. Right? At McRoberts over here. Alistair, turn your ghetto blaster. Okay. And as soon as school's over, press play. And you held it this close to your ear. So that explains maybe something. So ghetto blaster. I was thinking, how do we make August better than July? How do we make it? Think of those buttons on there. Think of those buttons. Can you guys see that? The play button. The play button. What are you... We're supposed to be, we've talked about this before, the most joyful, compassionate, patient, long-suffering people on earth, those of us who are Christians here, right? That's how you magnify God in you. That's pressing play. That's on repeat. Play. That's what we should be doing. It's summertime. Those of you who are Christians in the room, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's a buddy of mine at work. 2 weeks ago, he's like, Alistair, what am I missing? I said, you don't have Christ in your life. He goes, well, can't I do it without him? I said, no, it's harder. It's harder to do life without Christ. You can do it. But if you want a fulfilling life, that's what must be played. Right? I'm giving you the secret of what the Bible teaches. If you do not have Christ in this room today, run to him. Run to him. There's another button on there. Turn to Habakkuk if you can find it in the Bible. Be very thankful of your name. Your mom and dad didn't call you Habakkuk. If you want a key word for the book of Habakkuk, I would say watchtower. Here's a guy who longs to hear what God has to say. He just wants to hear it. And what does he do? He climbs a watchtower and he waits for God to speak. Look at, we'll just cut in here at verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, I will stand upon my watch. And he's up in there in the watchtower. And I will set me upon the tower and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. To put that in my language, I'm going to go up a tower. I'm going to sit and wait for you to speak. And then I will act. and then I will live out. Man, guys, we need more girls and guys like this. That's the pause button. Pause whatever you are doing these last 3 weeks in August. You want to make them better? Pause what you're doing. Pause what you're doing. I'm not saying you got to climb a watchtower, but man, there's a pretty cool view for those of you up at Anvil Island Bible Camp. There's a view when you climb to the peak, you see 360 degrees. Beautiful. I go to the white spot. It's called the white spot on there where we painted the rock white. And you look there and you go like, yes, there is a God. You pause. And you go, thank you, God. It's the first thing that sort of hits you. Pause. That's how you make your August better than. And bring God into your life. All right? Bring God by drinking this in. What does he say? And as a matter of fact, through the book here, he's actually quite impatient. And finally, God answers. And that's interesting. Just on that thought alone with Habakkuk, what I learned from that is there is an impatience. Like, hey, look, this is what's going on over here, God. This is what's going on. Don't you see it? Maybe for some of you in this room, it's a fractured relationship. Maybe your girlfriend broke up with you. There's probably good reason for that. Anyway, just kidding. But you move through and you go, God, come on. Like, what's it going on? And maybe God's just trying to sharpen you. Maybe your girl is four girls away from that one. And that was just there, so you don't wreck the fifth. Wow, was that? That was said very aggressively, right? Maybe I've seen that a little bit too many times with the youth that I deal with. Oh, Alistair, man, she broke up with me. You wouldn't have lasted 6 hours with me, all right? Look, don't put a girl through that, and vice versa, right? And so there's this feeling that with Habakkuk that, hey, God, don't you see what's going on here? Can you just rain judgment down here, please? It's very interesting. In Luke chapter 5, 6, and 11, there's a phrase that is says that is said. Jesus says this. The first one is there's a paralyzed man, and some doctors and some Pharisees are sort of going like that. Why did he heal? Why did he forgive him of his sin? And you know what it says there? Jesus knew their thoughts. You go one chapter over. Jesus heals again on the Sabbath. Everyone's upset. How can you do that on Sunday? Right? And Jesus, oh, you know what it says? He knew their thoughts. Again, he helps someone else out in chapter 11, and they go, oh, that's the power of Satan. That's the power of Satan. You know what does it say? He knew their thoughts. If there's a takeaway today, guys, there's the sovereignty of God. God knows what's going on. He's already knows that we were supposed to meet here, every single one of us, today. The sovereignty, he's in control of everything. And we are given the freedom of choice, when we are. But he already knows what's going to happen, but we're experiencing it for the first time. And so we're going to get a little impatient. And maybe we just don't see the full picture. Maybe there's some things Alistair has to learn before God can use me over here. Right? So here Habakkuk is like, I'm going to pause my life. Or pause, let's just take it for the next 3 weeks, all right? If we all did that, like we did at Anvil, three times a day, right? Morning chapel, nighttime chapel, cabin time, three times, never mind memorizing the verses, but that the word of God is opened, your life is going to change. You're going to pause. I'm asking us, leader included, to do that. Right? Pause. That makes sense? So when we press play, what are we playing? This. So we got to be careful what's going into the movies that we watch. Man, guys, it's getting worse, right? With Netflix and stuff, like, there's no filter now. Like before, at least the TV, whatever you call it, there was rules of what you could not say. Rules of what you could not show. In your generation, it's just like, wah! Right? So as Christians, we got to be able to go, wah, I'm going to turn that off. Right? It's not even a pause when someone else enters the room. We got to be, it's an awareness of we are being desensitized. Even as Jimmy has said, I got friends there. Dave's got friends there who fought that case a few years ago. They were exhausted And we go, oh man, God, this is a loss. This is a, God is doing it for a reason. Right? Maybe it's to wake up us. It's amazing what's happening in India. Amazing what's happening in parts of Asia. Unbelievable. People getting saved. That's unreal, guys. Right? So for us, we pause. That's how we come alive to Christ. That's John 15, right? The vine. It says, some of you, hey, there's no fruit. No, it says, no. And then it says more fruit, right? And then it says much fruit. What does that got to do with it? That all starts with the pause button. Pause what you're doing and include God in your day, in your hour. Not just in your meals, with your friends, different ones. Be more vocal. Learn from my mistakes. I used to think that I could just live out Christ and my actions would. You know what? Sometimes you just got to be articulate. Right? And just tell the guy straight. Okay. What else is on my ghetto blaster? Wish I had a better picture for you. This thing's been beat up. There is a stop button. So this is last Sunday. After church, cleaning the garage. Cleaning camp stuff out, right? And so I'm in the middle of doing this, and now I got to do that. Now, we seek truth, guys, in order to live it. So I pray this. I'm cleaning my garage. And I pause my life, and I just say, God, use me today. I don't know how it's going to happen. I think it's going to be because my wife is going to like me more because I'm cleaning the garage. And in my world, that works more than flowers. Now, maybe your world is wired different. Maybe your girl, when she sees flowers, she's like, Mine does not do that. She will take them and go, did you take out the bins? Did you cut the lawn? You know, it's like that. And if I do that, there is an awakening in her eyes, which I say, I'm like, wow. So you got to know how your woman thinks, all right? And then act accordingly, okay? Don't just, because it worked over here. No. Wow, this is like relationship advice here. But anyway, so I'm doing this, but I've included God in my garage. No one is there but me and my ghetto blaster. And the tunes are cranked. Who walks in? Nicely dressed. You know, he's got a tie. His buddy's got a tie. They're young. They walk up to my garage. Excuse me, sir. Do you have a moment? I'm like, here we go. Here we go. I'm like, gentlemen. And they say, yes. You know, they called it truth. Oh, I said, gentlemen, just please stop. I just got to fast forward here, all right? Turn off my tunes. I go, gentlemen, I just prayed for God to do his will through me. And guess who walks up into my driveway? You two. Yeah. Isn't it great how God moves? Wonderful. But what's going on here, gentlemen, is you think you're here to help me. No, I go. And they're like, I said, gentlemen, I said playfully, I am here to help you. And I just spoke to God 7 seconds ago. And they're like, what's going on? I said, gentlemen, you hold up this book on the same par as the Word of God. I said, I got a huge problem. The reason why you are in your driveway, in my driveway, today, is because I want to point out to you that there is the Word of God, and then there is nothing else. You are holding up a book that someone, that John Smith wrote, right next to it, and then finding fault with this one. This one's dropping. And then I just shut up. And the guy next, the younger one, says to the older one, this is last Sunday in my driveway. He goes, he's got a pretty good point. Says to his buddy. See, when you know you're right and when you include God in the conversation, it's not just you on the field. It's not just you in the room. It is the Holy Spirit alive in you. There's not no fruit in there. There's much fruit. And maybe no one's getting saved, but I'm going to hit the guy on the head nicely, pop. And for him to actually verbalize that, I'm not sure if I could do that. To be that honest in front of someone, because I just want to win right there. But he says, I think he's got a pretty good point. I said, give me your book. Now, the reason why I took it so that my next door neighbor wouldn't get it, but I took it. I said, gentlemen, I'm going to look at this, and we're going to pick this up in 3 weeks, because it's going to take me 3 weeks to get through it, all right? You're going to come back on my driveway, and I know you're going to have some heavy artillery, but you need to study what I've just said. There is the Word of God, and there is nothing. I have my commentaries. So do you guys. They're helpful. Intelligent men. I love being around smart people. I'm surrounded by them. I love being, and they write it down, and they have their point. I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe I haven't seen that before. I get a text from a preacher every day on my phone, just articulately, and you would think he needs an illustration, he needs this. No, it's just like, bam, Christ is, boom, but boom. I'm just like, wow. His name's John Dennison. It's just like, bam, bam, bam. I'm just like, I love this. A guy who can just mine the Word of God, drink it out, and just stick it on a plate for me. I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. Now, by the way, we are human, so sometimes it's not devouring, right? Because we're human. But I guess my point is, we need to exude joy, press play. We need to pause what we're doing, think about it. I'm telling you how to have a better August than a July. I'm telling you the truth, guys. Learn from my mistakes. You've got to include, pause, whatever you're doing, God in the conversation. This is just 2.5 weeks ago. I said, God, the next person you want me to witness to, let it be the next person that texts me. The next person. It was a guy from work. This is what's going on. And then I just act accordingly. All right? So, Alistair, I'm going to the P&E in 2 weeks. Yeah? Maybe we should all pray. I'll hopefully be there too. I brought my mom on that roller coaster once. Wow, that was crazy. That was not a good idea. Don't do that. But I remember, anyway, that is bring God. Pause, stop. Now, what's something else, guys? There's something else we all do. I don't do it naturally, but I find myself looking 2 or 3 steps ahead whenever I am in life. Maybe it's just the leadership stuff that I do at work, or when I go speak at different churches or whatever. I'm always looking a few steps, or whether I lead the sports crew at Anvil Island Bible Camp. 13 guys in the sports crew. I'm always looking ahead, something to set up. I'm in the band there, so what songs are we going to play? How are we going to play them? Right? What are we going to emphasize? I'm always looking. So I always have to live my life 2 or 3 steps ahead of what's going on. But I want you to be careful of this. It's a fast forward button in your life. Because I tell you something, what I learned from Donald just a week ago was he was very present. We're talking about a young, simple guy, guys. And I'm going, I can learn from that. You know when you talk to someone and they look beyond you? Have you ever been in a conversation like that? And they're just sort of, yeah, they're sort of looking for someone maybe more important in the room. And just, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't you hate that? My father-in-law used to do that. I love John. My father, I got one of the best ones. But occasionally he would do that. I said, John, and when I brought it to his attention, I said, when I'm talking to you, you look me in the eyeball. He goes, I did. I said, no, John, you're looking for someone else. What are you looking for? He called me a few names, preacher names. Be present. When we fast forward, you know, when I get this house, when I get this car, when I get this girl, when I make this much, then I will be happy. Guess what, guys? I'm almost 50 now as well, all right? The horizon continually moves. The only time your life gets better is when you develop your relationship with your God better. I'm just giving you a 5-star tip. Because now that comes out of you into your relationships. One day your kids into your kids. Alistair, my kid's a rebel. Blah, 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 blah. That may not be your fault, all right? I got friends. Man, yeah, I'm just like, man, that's an awesome dad. And suddenly the kid just goes wild. Don't take it personally. You do your job on duty for God. But don't live your life so fast forward. Oh, when this, when that, when that. Be present. That's what I learned at Anvil Bible Camp last week. Does that make sense? here, guys, is the last one I want to talk about, and that's just the rewind button. There's something to be said about, and it happened again yesterday. Someone just came up to me, "Hey, Alistair, thanks a lot." What a day. I'm just like to just verbalize it. Like, I knew it. I thought everyone knew it. But for someone to walk, "Hey, Alistair, just want to say, wow, we got really far in this tournament." And we did. Somehow I ended up with two killers on my team. Like, guys who are jumping this high in the air. I'm setting these guys up. And the reins, trying to take down these big teams. And again, and they're thanking me. I'm like, buddy, I was just bragging about you 5 seconds ago. There's basically Spider-Man and you. You're like a close second. You were flying above the net, man. But gratitude, when we look back and see what God has done, God knows our thoughts. Jesus knows our thoughts. Careful how we, he knows your plan. Your plan's going to be great. And yes, you may think you're the main character in it, but you're just part of a big love story moving through. All right? Now we got to take a snapshot. Does that make sense? My ghetto blaster? There's a, in James there, it says, prove yourselves doers of the word. So it's time for a self, self-analysis again, guys. We got to do this. Are you ready?
So you're going to take one of these. What, if you don't have a pen, if you do have a pen, just pass them on. But, take one of these.
Pens are coming around. Just put up your hand and we'll throw a pen at you. We'll be. So when you get your piece of paper, we're just going to do a little bit of a chart here. Looks like that. And then you're going to number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 at the top. One down here. How do you have a better August than a July? Alice, there's only 3 weeks left. Summer 2018. You can do it. And the first category is this. It's basically this. Out of 10, are you a Christian? Now, you know, because I've been here before, and you have good teaching here, that once you're saved, you're always saved, right? You guys know that, right? So Alistair's going to mess up in his life. He's going to pray for forgiveness. But are you a Christian, number one? You can only score a 10 out of 10. So if that's you, then you score that. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? Are you a Christian? You say, Alistair, I'm not a Christian yet. Well, guess what? You don't get a 5 or a 4 because Alistair, if he's not a Christian, cannot enter into heaven. We're dealing with life and death here. We're just here for a moment, guys. Right? We're just here for a moment. The next thing, you know, obviously the Bible talks about, you know, Romans 3 and 23, Romans 6 and 23. Are we Christian? You know, we've all sinned and come and short of the glory of God. You guys know this. God raised his son from the dead. Right? And it says when you trust him, so are you a Christian? The second category, so we'll just go C on that one at the bottom. The next one here is, have you been baptized? Now, again, this is after you become a Christian. So I got friends of mine at work who are finding Christ for the first time. They sit beside me in church and they go, wow, Alistair, did you tip the pastor off that I've been married 4 times? I said, shut up, man. This is good for you to be here. It's good for me to be here. I'm enjoying this. Right? So he thinks I've tipped off the pastor because his life, even though he's very good at what he does, guys, and he's very good at what he does, but somehow he finds himself coming to church with me for 6 sessions just so I can reprogram him. I just need to pick him up out of his life. I said, you're coming with me at 10 o'clock every Sunday for the next, and he thinks I've preloaded the pastor. That the pastor has somehow put his message together to just talk to him. I said, buddy, this is a good sign if you're taking this personally. Because he's right. You do need Christ. And by the way, so do I. Daily. The next thing, though, it says, though, is, are you baptized? And again, you got to get a 10 out of 10 here. So the 5s are here, right? But 10 out of 10, so I'm going to go B for here. I'm going to go baptized. Yes, again. Wow, Alistair's doing so well. He's being, wow. If all my tests look like this, and I have one in about 5 weeks, it won't look like this. So far, Alistair's doing pretty good. Why? Because I've just done what God says, right? If some of you guys want to write a verse there that's helpful, it says Acts 2 and 41, it says, they who gladly received his word were baptized. That's it. Alistair, what is that? That's just showing everyone, your friends, everyone, that you are under new management. You are part of the winning team. You got a logo there across your heart. It says Christ has just taken up residence. The Holy Spirit, something you didn't have before, now is in you. Unbelievable, guys. God himself is in you. Not you are a God. No. God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Takes up residence. So when Alistair is impatient with somebody, because I'm Irish and I feel like hitting him, because of Christ, it subdues that mad Irishman. All right? And then suddenly I can be patient with this guy. Okay. Now the next one I've put here is you compared to you. You compared to you as in 3 months ago. You can score your own. Now this is, so some of you, like when I was first doing this to myself a number of years ago, I would just hold it like cards, right? Just, I didn't want anyone to know. And that's okay. Because this is personal. In fact, you know what I did? I took that piece of paper and I folded it in half. And I opened like a book, would mark it. But some of you are more open. My wife is more open, right? She's just like, yeah, that's me. Boom. That's what I learned from her. But I'm going to put you compared to you. How often do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible more now or less than you did 3 months ago? We have a little bit more time in the summer. It helps a little bit. You say, well, you're the preacher. You should be opening it up all the time. That is correct. But I'm going to score myself about a 6. All right? You know what's interesting about giving out and those of us who have done that, youth group leaders, is we always have to be in the Word of God. It keeps us in check. Isn't that amazing? If I want to do better at work, guys, I'll just tell someone, hey, look, I'll pay you $1,000 if I don't hit this target by the end of the month. They're like, okay, that sounds good. I'll be your friend. Who hits their target by more than 3, 4, 5% sometimes? Why? Because I'm accountable now. So, but here, guys, what about if you're not giving it away to anyone? How about it's just for you so you can live, right? So I'm going to give you a verse here in Psalm 119 and 105. You can even put it there in little, that would be Psalm 119 and verse 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's lots that we can go through here, but we're just doing a self-analysis of where we sit right now. You compared to you 3 months ago. Are you reading more? You say, Alistair, I'm not even a Christian yet. But if you're reading more, good for you. You may even be an 8. I got friends at work that are devouring the word of God. This is brand new for them. Right? All right. The next one is, how often do you pray? There is a great resource. I'm going to read you something here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's kind of like our pause button we talked about earlier, right? Include God in your day. Pray without ceasing. There are many verses we could turn to. But if you're not doing that, you're trying to do things on your own strength. You know what I'm having a lot of fun these days doing? I'm actually having a lot of fun, not me speaking to crowds, but me just bringing guys from work to church. It's kind of like Andrew in the Bible. Hey, come see Jesus. Come see Jesus. And they come, they commit to comings maybe six times, or that's my rule. And they come, and they, oh, you broke one, now you owe me. Now you have to come 10. What? Don't break it again. You know, because everyone's golfing and blah, 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 blah. But here, guys, you compared to you, right? So we'll put an R on that one. This one's going to be pray. Are we using prayer as much as we could? Pray without ceasing? If I was honest, that's how I'm looking. Fortunately for me, I'm sort of forced to pray a few times during the day. So, but there it is there, pray. If you want a verse for that one, that was 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now, this one's tough because I'm going to put the word obey here. Are we obeying what the Word of God says and then executing it in our lives? On certain topics, me compared to a few months ago, this is just me. God may score it differently. I'm sure he does. Obedience. So when I see something, do I act on it? Or do I pause and go, oh, right? How quickly am I to obey? In James 1 and 22, it says we are to be doers of the word, right? We are to be doers of the word. So that was James 1 and 17. And James, by the way, is all about what we are doing and how we are living out our life for him. James, what are we doing for the kingdom of God? Does that make sense? You compared to you 3 months ago. The next one is, how often do we worship? Here's a verse for you, Psalm 29 and 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. I'm going to score myself a little bit lower here. It's probably very accurate. Give unto him the glory due his name. How often in my life things are going well or things are not going well or things are moving along and... give unto him the glory due. How quickly am I to say, God, you are great. I know you're in this, so just do it. And please use me. Worship. Glory. Right? The glory due his name. The next one is witness. You compared to yourself 3 months ago. Put a W there. Witness. In other words, you telling your friends about Christ. Perhaps bring them here to peace. Perhaps over a lunch, because your buddy's like, I'm not doing that, man. I'm a Buddhist. What are you talking about, man? You know that. Don't disrespect me. Yeah, these are the conversations I have. I'm like, disrespect? Dude, you're my friend. If you're going off the cliff, I'm going to be waving. I'm going to tackle you, all right? No disrespect. Witness, you compared to you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This one is, I'm going to call it desire. In that witness one, it's Acts 4 and 4. It says they heard the word and they believed. Right? That's Acts 4 and, sorry, 4 and 4. So someone's speaking, and you know how many thousands of people, it says, got saved. All because one guy opens his mouth. What? At one time? At one time. But this is what's going on in other parts of the world, guys. Just be bold enough and be proud enough to know you're on the winning team. And some people lose their heads over this, over the history. Be quiet. No. It's not like that here in Canada yet. But you watch, you start taking away law. You stop having Christians in the law courts. Look out. What are we? Wow. Now what are we basing things on? Wow. Scary stuff. Anyway, I'm going to call this one desire. How is your desire to work compared to 3 months ago? It says this, Psalm 34 and 4, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. That's, well, Alistair, what was that? That was Psalm 34. I'm telling you, don't do it on your own strength. One of my greatest assets is my enthusiasm. It can get in the way. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, and ye shall seek me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Isn't that beautiful? That was Jeremiah 29. We got to do our part, guys. Jeremiah 29, it says, you'll find me, but you got to search for me. I'm saying daily, if you're not a Christian yet, find him. Accept him. There's humility involved. There's honesty involved, and honesty hurts. So I'm going to put a D there, desire. How much do you desire him? You know, compared to where you were 3 months ago. There it is. So now you take these, and we'll just go, we'll say, okay, then just right on top. So in other words, for this one, I got a 10. For this one, I got a 10. This one, I got a 6. So just right there. Oops, getting worse here. 4, 5, 3, 5.5. Desire. So you got them? 10, 10, 6. 4, 5, 3. Yours is going to look differently. And we're just going to put that now on a wheel. So we're just going to put that on a wheel here. And so what you're going to do is you're going to draw a wheel. And of course, we've answered 8 questions, which means we draw 4 lines. And that gives us 8. Is that right? And then numbers 1 through 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Same thing on each one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And this one is, are you a Christian? Well, obviously, you can put a dot there if you are. Are you baptized? I get another dot there. But this is where I started to score a little lower here, right? So you do your own. No, don't do mine. But are you reading? Score yourself. Are you praying? Are you obeying? When you are done with your dots, just connect that. I'm going to connect mine in yellow. And I'm even trying to smooth out the, or make it round. This is supposed to be a wheel. But as you can see, Alistair has some major dysfunction in his Christian life. And he's the speaker. I am just a guy who has happened to trust Christ and loves this book and tries to give it away. That's who I am. But look at that wheel. If I had to go down a hill, I would last, what, maybe 4 seconds? No, I wouldn't. The knees would be already scraped. This is what's going on. There are things that I need to work on that were better 3 months ago. What about you? See, God is searching for man. He is searching for blank. You fill in your name. He is desiring you. But we are also supposed to be desiring him. So man is searching for us, and we are searching for him. And we seek truth in order to live it. That's why Habakkuk is right. He's like, I don't get it. I don't get what's going on. I'm going to go to the top of the tower, and I'm just going to sit there. Someone send me up a sandwich once a day, and I'm just going to wait for God because I'm so upset. And once he answers me, then I will act. Oh, man. We need more people that desire that, for God to move in their lives. So here we go. We seek truth, guys, in order to live it. There's no ego involved. No. There's no pride involved. I am just like you. I'm a guy. Perhaps even some of you were born in Richmond General, right? Anybody born in Richmond General like me? No? What? Nobody's born in Richmond General Hospital? One. Thank you. We're buddies. And there it is. So most of you came from somewhere else, came here. Wow. God has a plan for your life. All I'm saying is over the next 3 weeks, pick one of these. For me, well, let's pick the lowest one for me. Prayer. Let's take up, what does that mean? It means there's an awareness of it, and then to bring God into my prayer, better than I was. But Alistair, you were already pretty good over here. No. I would say for a lot of Christians, the more I read up on this subject, there's a lot to learn here about prayer, including God in our lives. I hope that makes sense, guys. Play. Pause. Stop over the next few weeks. Fast forward. Don't do it as much. Live in the present. And looking back, it actually helps with gratitude. It really does. And we've done a self-analysis here. And we didn't get to get into Colossians today, but because, guys, if we're not aware, if you don't execute, all right, friction is naturally going to happen in your Christian life. Confusion is going to happen in your Christian life. Unproductiveness is going to happen in your Christian life. I just got some really bad news 2 days ago. I'm sitting with the school board. We had to have an emergency meeting. Really bad news, guys. That's all I'm going to say. Right? Careful, because as you maneuver as a Christian, those of you who are in leadership are targets. Sorry about that. So you require more prayer. So your leaders here, pray for them. The guys who lead you on a Sunday, just include them in your prayer. Right? We all need more prayer. God wants to involve you. He wants to use you up. And if you say no to him, then he'll just use someone else. And I found that in my life. So, guys, I love being here. I love you guys. I probably won't see you till the fall now. And by then, I hope we look back and say, yeah, man, August was better than my July. And I only had 3 weeks left in August. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for this great day. We give thanks for this this local church here in Richmond. And even driving up, Father, even a Jewish school, all these different religions on Five Road, Father. We think of this place and this light that is for this community here. We give thanks for Peace Evangelical. We pray for wisdom in our lives. Father, we pray for all the different outreaches over the next 3 weeks, be it a BVS or camps, as we've been hearing, outreaches. And Father, we just pray that your spirit would have freedom to move. And Father, we're asking personally and collectively here to do your will through us. And we see great and small things done for the kingdom of God. So, Father, bless this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Dave. Just a couple things.